What's up, you guys? I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And welcome to the Know For Sure podcast, where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, and having the tough conversations.
Yes, and we also talk about relationships, not just romantic relationships, but platonic relationships.
Like the relationship I have with my best friend, Megan Ashley, of 20 years.
20 years, baby.
Yes, baby. Do you know for sure?
I think I know for sure, but what I do know for sure is after this episode, you're going to know something for sure.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of, you already know the name of the podcast.
Relax. Okay. It's like, you don't have to do the intros like that.
To another episode of your favorite podcast in the whole motherfucking world. To the number one podcast in the world.
This bitch sell out one show.
We sold out our first show in Atlanta, Georgia, okay?
On a Wednesday.
On a Wednesday. People flying in.
That's how my dad says.
Wednesday. It's like Wednesday.
Monday.
Tuesday.
It's actually Wednesday.
Really? It's Wednesday.
Wesley. Edward. That's my dad's name. Wesley Edward. Welcome back to another episode of the Know For Sure podcast. I'm B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And this is our podcast where we talk about healing, growing, evolving, having the tough conversation as millennials, and our platonic relationship of 20 years, baby.
You didn't get in the cracks when you did the lotion.
So you gonna call me out like that?
Well, you put it in my face.
Jesus. For everybody that's not watching and that's just listening to audio, Megan is saying I'm ashy.
You're not that ashy. You're just a little cracky crack. Did you do that in school when you didn't have lotion?
For lick your hands.
And then got ashier.
And it's like now minute. Your hands smell like saliva.
For sure. Nasty. Yeah.
Anyway, y'all already know what time it is. We're back. Woo! Gets me every time. Clench my butt cheeks.
It's like, are we going to do a new version of
it? No, we're not. It's people like, love it.
Okay.
You're like, who's people?
We have a new intro and they love that.
We do have a new intro. Do you guys love the new intro?
I love the new
Some
intro.
Some people were mad, like, I liked the music. Well, bitch.
It's like, it's called Know For Sure Podcast, where we grow,
heal, and evolve. And it's called Know For Sure Podcast, and the owner is us. So the decisions we make, y'all just gonna have to roll with it. Whatever we do. But we're here in LA, you guys.
We're back in LA.
We love LA. Y'all know we get our Airbnbs, we get a vibe. Y'all can't see the team, but they back there.
This house is, I'm doing good with these houses.
You are. You know how to do it. We need to buy a house out here.
Look at Shekinah. Shekinah's like,
you need to buy a property out here and stop renting Airbnbs.
For sure.
So any realtors out there in LA?
Or anybody wants to give us a house?
Right. Anyone want to sell us home? But we have a guest today.
I'm really excited. We have a great guest today.
A great guest. Another man on the podcast. Get that energy. Y'all always be like, put more men on the show. Well, today we have an awesome man. Mr. Charlie Rocket, one of my longtime friends in the industry. Clap
Virtual
it up
claps.
For him.
Thank you.
Virtual
Thank
claps.
You. You do that very well. Impressive.
Thanks.
What was that?
But you know the little whistle.
What?
I don't know.
Do it again.
You're having to keep going. Yeah. Jeez Louise. Charlie Rocket is here, you guys. I met him when I was in the music industry, like trying to get signed to Young Jock. Oh,
it was not that long ago.
I was running around in the streets of Atlanta, and this is how I met Charlie, because I always knew Charlie as artist management. Mm-hmm. You manage 2 Chainz. Mm-hmm. You manage artists in Atlanta. You were in the music industry, and that's how we met. And mm-hmm. then you totally changed up everything from your entrepreneurship to your life. Your journey is so different now, which we are going to get into. But before we do all that, we're going to do rapid fire questions with
uh-oh.
You. So they're easy. They're fun.
All right.
Fun little rapid fire icebreakers. So we'll do these rapid fire questions, and then we'll get into telling the Know For Sure podcast family exactly who Charlie Rocket is.
Yes, ma'am.
So the first rapid fire question, morning or evening?
That's like, and for why? What? I think it has to be specific.
Like, in general.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to say morning.
Look at him. He's about to get deep already.
Because the other day I woke up late and it felt like like the world was controlling me, and it was like mild level of anxiety, like just not like anxiety, but like a
but
mild.
It felt like something was off.
And then when I woke up yesterday at 5 a.m., I felt in control, and it was just very like, oh wow, like I don't, you ever felt like. And this is obviously not rapid fire anymore.
No, it's okay. He's like, now we're going into it. So it's
see, this is why we have him on the platform, y'all.
But like, I think time is different in the morning. I have my own philosophy on why. But like, there's this like before people are up, before like all the cell phones. Because you got to think, there's stuff flying through the air.
All the chaos.
It's literally everything is a wave. So like when everybody's asleep, the waves are low. So when you wake up, it's like you feel a little bit clear. And time moves real slow during that. But then something happens once everybody gets up. Time, it's like time moves different.
That's so true. I'll say morning. You get up, like, that's been my biggest area of opportunity, like, that I feel like I'm supposed to be doing better at.
And you've
it's
been
getting up
that.
In them. I've been saying that, and I still haven't done it. But anytime that I do do it, like, if I'm up before my kids, and I'm just, you know, at least I'm up.
Yeah.
It makes so much of, you know, my life easier. Like and then once I'm up, I'm already up, so I'm working and I'm doing stuff. And then before you know it, it's only like 8 in the morning.
And
you're like,
done.
Damn, so I've got so much done. Yep. And it's only 8. And it's like you have the rest of your day.
But I'm going to change my answer. Evening.
How you going to
No.
Wait, how you going to say all that profound shit?
No,
you and be like, actually.
Listen, I'm not unreasonable. Listen.
We agree. He's like, actually, I'm sick, you bitch. Evening. Nighttime, midnight.
So really, if you want it, if you are morning, you got to make it evening. Because if you're not taking care of yourself at the evening, which everybody, like all the successful people, they're like, you should wake up at 5:30 every morning. And I'm like, I'm tired. Like I'm exhausted and I don't feel good. So I gotta like make sure I at least can function the next day. So if I'm waking up at 5:30, I'm just crashing myself. But then I shifted something about 3-4 weeks ago where I started focusing on the evening.
To be ready
for the morning, which I think is maybe the most important thing we could do if we want to.
So maybe control prep the next yourself day. In the evening or make for the morning. Yeah. So make sure that if the energy is better in the morning, be aware and conscious of it in the evening as well. That's so that way you're prepared to be productive.
I started taking baths every night. I got this like Theragun thing, like massaging my legs.
Come on, self-care for me.
I'm like stretching, doing like a little yoga, put on this. There's this on YouTube. You type in any country, 4K. You could type in Caribbean 4K, China 4K, and this most amazing like scenery with meditation music. And I'm like, which country am I going to go to tonight?
Oh,
I'm just like going all across the world.
That.
Like,
that's
so yeah, evening.
To prepare.
Do you
morning.
Have a certain time you go to bed?
I've been trying, but it changes every day.
See, that's I work better. I work better in the evening. Like for what, and maybe that's a conditioning thing I've conditioned myself to, but I'm like, once everything is done, like everyone's taken care of, then I'm like, okay, now I can, and then I'll be up till 3 or 4 in the morning working, and then I can't get up at 5.
Because you just went to sleep. Because
I went to sleep an hour ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So like, I need to kind of we were talking about that too, like saying like, oh, I work better under pressure. It's like, that's not a good thing. Like, why are we making that a good thing? Like, that's a condition, and you don't have to
Be
that,
that
way.
Yeah.
So I need to be better at that for sure.
So prepare in the evening to have a better morning.
The whole day. The new answer.
Afternoon. Morning or evening. My life. My whole life.
No,
whole day.
Sure. No, it makes sense. It's just being intentional.
Yeah. That was good.
I promise y'all I'm not annoying.
He's like, I changed my answer again. Okay, another question. This isn't really rapid fire, but next question is, do you correct people's grammar?
Absolutely not.
Me either.
Why would you?
It's like salmon. I can't stand that.
Yeah, it has to be like obvious. It's like, come on.
Like if somebody's like, I'm finna go to the mall, like you could say finna. I'm not gonna be like, I am about to go.
Yeah.
But if you're like, ooh, I love that salmon burger, bitch.
You know, the people that I can't stand is the people who like try to be the grammar police on Instagram, like on comments. They're there or your. It's like you knew what I meant.
You knew what I was trying to say.
I spell everything wrong.
Everything.
And I think my fan base has just gotten used to it. But, yeah. But like when people, like my business partners and everybody, they try to correct me. I'm like, when I'm writing, I'm feeling my energy. I don't have time to check. Yeah. It's energy. Yeah. Yeah. And I need that energy to get out.
Yes. And you're not proofreading a paragraph.
That's why when I send you stuff, nothing is my grammar. I send it to my mom. I'm like, can you fix anything? Because I don't want to get killed in the comments.
Mm-hmm.
But if I go back and proofread anything that I read or anything that I wrote, I'll start to second guess and I'm like, well, maybe I should. And then it becomes not as organic. Genuine organic as what I originally wanted to be.
There's two systems we got. We got the mind system, which is that like analytical, and then we got the heart. Mm-hmm. Like when I'm writing, when I misspell everything, that's how you know I wrote from the heart. I'm just pouring. And I'll misspell 19 words. I'm like, I don't care.
It's organic.
Mm-hmm.
These days, a lot of people are learning about all the benefits of fasting, like weight loss, mental and physical performance, and gut health, but worry about the whole not eating part. Well, that's exactly why Prolon was created. Introducing Prolon, a revolutionary plant-based nutrition program that nourishes the body while making cells believe they're fasting. Researched and developed for decades at the University of Southern California Longevity Institute and backed by leading U.S. medical centers, Prolon helps promote healthy blood sugar, support cardiovascular health, and reduce abdominal fat. But Prolon isn't a diet. Prolon is science. Science based on Nobel Prize winning discoveries in medicine. And this all starts with Prolon's 5-day program, snacks, soups, and beverages, all designed to keep your body in a fasting state. It's unlike anything you've ever experienced. You guys listen. If I was going to start a nutrition program, Prolon is exactly what I'd use. It's convenient, backed by Nobel-winning science, and it works. It's no wonder why thousands of doctors now recommend Prolon to support healthy blood sugar and cardiovascular health. Right now, Prolon is offering in totality with Megan Ashley listeners 10% off their 5-day nutrition program. Go to prolonlife.com/totality. That's prolonlife.com/totality for this special offer. That's prolonlife.com/totality. All right, guys, now back to the show. Okay, you guys, before we continue with this episode, have you ever been on a hunt for a new doctor and you literally asked everyone for their recommendation? Listen, when I moved to Georgia with the kids, I needed to find a new doctor for them. I would ask everyone, so I totally know what this feels like. You ask everybody who you know for a doctor that listens to you, that knows your needs, that makes you feel comfortable. And after weeks of searching and asking everyone around town, you finally found the one. It's close to the kids' school. It's close to your house. It's amazing. All the boxes are checked. So then you call the office, you make an appointment, and they actually have an available appointment. Everything is working out just right. But then the receptionist tells you that the perfect doctor that you have searched all over for does not take your insurance. I'm telling you right now, wipe the tears, put away the ice cream, and head over to ZocDoc to find and book a doctor who is right for you and takes your insurance. ZocDoc is a free app where you can find amazing doctors and book appointments online. We're talking about booking appointments with thousands of top-rated patient-reviewed doctors and specialists. You can filter specifically for ones who take your insurance, are located near you, and treat almost every and any condition you're searching for. These doctors all have verified reviews from actual real patients, not robots. The typical wait time to see a doctor booked on ZocDoc is between just 24 to 72 hours. That's it. You can even score same-day appointments. You can find the doctor you want and book them immediately with just a few app taps. No more waiting awkwardly on hold with a receptionist. Go to ZocDoc.com/totality and download the ZocDoc app for free. Then find and book a top-rated doctor today. That's ZocDoc.com/totality. ZocDoc.com/totality. All right, guys, back to the show.
That's how I am, too. Yeah. If I go back and read and like proofread myself,
you start to get like, okay, take that out.
I will second guess everything. Yeah. Or, and then it just doesn't become what it was meant to become. That's just why I'm like, I'll send it to my mom. I'm like, can you proofread that?
I know.
Or I'll send it to B. I'm like, can you proofread that?
Oh, your last vlog was so good. Y'all check it out if you're not on Patreon. Megan's last vlog was fire. It was so good.
It was so long.
Okay, last little question. Do you believe in soulmates?
Absolutely.
Do you?
Of course.
Do you believe you can have one?
That's what I was
about
to say.
Hold on, what?
I know. It was the same question.
Y'all just added new questions. I answered it, and then y'all trying to make it spicier.
I answered it. Soulmates,
right. She said, do you believe in one? That's what I was going to say. Do you believe it can be more than
just one person? Just one person, or do you feel
I mean, you can have souls aren't male or female.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
Like, it could be your, like, my business partner is probably my soul. Like, my business partner has been in my life as long as y'all have been in y'all's lives. So, it's like,
same
that's
thing.
Definitely because I remember in middle school when we met, I saw him. I was like, that's gonna be my best friend.
That's what I did with her.
No way.
Sixth grade.
What's your sign?
Pisces.
If you were Virgo, I'd be scared because your birthday is April 5th. I'm April 6th.
Oh, yeah.
That would have been scary.
If you were Virgo,
I would have been like, I'm still terrified.
That's what I said to her. I walked up to her. I was like, we're gonna be best friends.
That's what exactly I said to my best friend.
That's crazy.
Still rocking. But so I say souls, like we pick, you know, the body and we pick everything that we came back and did. But like souls is like supposed to be.
Yeah. That connection.
Men, women, relationship, business partner. So yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into who Charlie really is.
Uh-oh.
I know. From when I met you, you're different physically. You're different mentally. You're different emotionally. You have been through so much. And
you too.
I know. Thank you. I am too. We went through a whole journey. That was years and years ago. But when I met you, you were this millionaire in Atlanta, in the music industry, financially successful, but so unfulfilled. Can you tell us a little bit about how you were so successful in the industry, successful in your finances, but internally something was missing?
Yeah. It goes back to... I would associate it with the word dream. Mm-hmm. And when we're here for a reason, and if we ignore the reason, we will end up out of alignment. And if you're experiencing health issues, if you're experiencing certain things, our bodies will show us that like this is kind of like a disease. It's kind of, you get diseased by not being in alignment. Mm. I had buried my dream when I was little. I wanted to be an athlete. That's all I wanted. My best friend, he was the best player on the basketball team. I was the worst player on the basketball team. That's what I wanted, but I was always overweight. So I buried the dream and I was like, okay, let me tap into like, instead of my heart, let me tap into my brain. What can I be good at? Mm. What can I make money at?
And that's how you got into the music industry.
Exactly.
Okay.
So growing up in Atlanta.
Music and entertainment everywhere. Yeah,
I remember I'm walking in the hallway. These guys, they had on these jackets with their like rap gang on the back, and I was like, "That is so cool." it was actually like it was a group called Black Mob. Okay. They ended up being a gang in the end, but like they rapped, and I was like, "That is so cool." I was like, "How can I be of service to this? Like, I want to be a part of it." So I got a camera, built a website called spitchogame.com, and like ended up doing the whole dance movement in Atlanta. Then Soulja Boy got signed. He was like, I want him to be my cameraman. I guess I was kind of like the first like lyrical Lemonade. Mm-hmm. Like I was a cameraman, but like everybody wanted to work with me. Ended up on tour with Soulja Boy. Got fired.
Why did you get fired?
I was a really bad employee.
Like, what did you do?
Well, honestly, I was telling him things he should stop doing, and I don't think that's a cameraman's place, the more I know. But I didn't look at myself as a cameraman. I'm like, you wanted me. Like, I'm a boss, too. But at the end of the day, I'm working for you.
Right.
So I was
right.
telling him things he shouldn't do. And one day, he said, because he would give us these, like, gold chains to wear and everything.
Are y'all still cool? Are y'all cool to this
We're
day?
Cool now.
Okay.
We're cool now.
I'm like,
we didn't talk for...
years.
13 years.
Right.
That makes me sound so old. But I remember the day I got fired. It was October 2nd, 2007.
Wow.
And he asked me for the chain back, but he didn't tell me he was firing me. He said, oh, let me see that chain. I want to get it cleaned. I was like, that's weird. Okay. I took it off. And then the next day we were supposed to fly to Jimmy Kimmel. And I'm like waiting for the itinerary and like I'm at the Atlanta airport. Mm. Nobody's answering my phones. And I'm like, something ain't right. Like I'm ready to go. I know we got a flight this morning, but I don't know any of the flight info. So in that moment, I realized I was fired.
Soulja Boy, that is not how you fire somebody. Give me your chain back. SODMG.
And now I'm at
wasn't
the airport.
Ooh. Yeah, just at the airport. Ooh, took the MARTA home. Anybody. Wasn't making much money working for him. So
look at you. Like, I didn't go cheap. So I didn't really. No, I'm just kidding.
So I was like, you know what? This is a winning streak. I told my mom, got to move back in the basement. Can I move back in the basement? Mm-hmm. I was like, but this is a winning streak. She's like, what do you mean? I was like, cameraman, least paid person on the team. Mm-hmm. Manager, highest paid person on the team. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the manager now. Mm-hmm. And she was like, what do you know about managing artists? And I'm like, I'm going to be the best. Because the cameraman was in every room. I got to meet every radio DJ. I got to meet every producer.
You built all your connections. Yep.
So I decided to sign a girl group, got them a record deal.
Who was the girl group?
Vistoso Bosses.
Okay. Oh, are they Latina?
No.
Oh, so
Latina
sorry.
Name.
I know that is.
They kind of look, actually, it's kind of weird. If you pulled up a picture, y'all kind of look like them.
It's two girls?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, actually look almost exactly like y'all. Crazy. It's kind of scary.
Okay, so you signed them.
So signed them.
Like a remake? Got them.
I know. Like, what you trying to say? We can get in the studio tonight. We already got one song out. It's on
girl,
our...
relax. Okay.
Long story short, they caught me, Megan. Long story short, they fired me too in an airport in Washington, D.C.
What's up with you in airports?
I can't tell you. Some portal of blessings, but I look at it as a blessing.
Yeah.
So it's like, all right, God just directed me back. Uh-huh. And I signed Travis Porter.
Travis Porter.
And they never left me. Travis Porter, they never
like,
fired
gave
me.
My first little feature, and we shot a music video. It never came out. I love Travis Porter. Oh my gosh, they had a great run.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing their thing now. They were just on Wildin' Out recently.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice.
Yeah. Okay, so tell us about that. Sorry.
So ended up that went well. Signed 2 Chainz. Obviously, that went well.
Yeah.
But then at the height of my career. This is when I realized that I was out of alignment.
Yeah.
I was 300 pounds, mm-hmm. and I was diagnosed with a brain tumor. And this is when that word dream came back to me. Mm-hmm. And I was, like, looking at my life as if, like, it was a movie. And I was like, okay, here's this kid who buried a dream, went on to make a lot of money, and dies.
Mm.
And I'm like, that can't be
that
it.
That can't be my story, yeah. Mm.
Because I went into music because... it was a way for me to make a living and for me to something I'm good at. And I was good at it.
Mm-hmm.
But was it my dream, the dream that was like put in me?
Cause so what was that dream?
I wanted to be an athlete.
Athlete.
And okay. That makes no sense. Like,
okay.
When I went to my artist and I went to my mom and everybody, and I'm like, I'm leaving. And they're like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I'm going to be an athlete.
Mm.
And they're like, looking at a 29-year-old, like 300-pound man. And, you know,
within
like
the music industry,
very successful. And I'm like, I'm going to be an athlete. Like, mm-hmm. I'm going to leave this empire that I built and I'm going to go run. And I'm not going to be in the Olympics and I'm not going to play for the Lakers. But I just know I have to go do it.
Mm.
And I said,
even if it doesn't look like that, like the mm-hmm. NBA, it doesn't look like that mm-hmm. idea mm-hmm. of what a successful athlete is.
Mm-hmm.
You want to knew do it that in there, some way, shape or form.
If God gave me that dream.
Mm.
It had to be for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And if I go through this life and I get to the end of it wondering, and I was just like, I
you
have to find out.
That. Yeah. Yeah.
I think that, like, we talked about this. I don't know if it was the last episode or we've just been talking for the last, I don't even know how long, a couple weeks about this, but like, I feel like there are wants and then there are desires. And mm. I feel like the desires truly come from God. Like those are the things that, like what you said, that dream, that is like, cause it says like in the word, it says like, he will give you the desires of your heart. And I don't believe that he like grants you the desires of your heart. He places those in there. And we get confused with like wants and desires. Like I truly desire to do what we do. Like what this is, I've desired that my entire life. I've desired to like be able to have conversations with people and connect and express and share our experience of this life through the lens of like how I view God and how I view he's moved through my life. That was, has always been a desire of mine. But there I have had wants that I've confused with desires. And a lot of times I think we kind of put more focus on the wants because they're tangible. I can see that. I can, if I want a Bentley, I can see a Bentley. I can see that. But sometimes when you have like a desire and God doesn't show you exactly what it looks like, we get distracted and we move to the wants.
Because you have because to have
I can see that. I can see the house. I can see the car. I can see the career. I can see you wanted to be an athlete and all you can see is athletes, NFL and NBA. And, you know, the way that you had the desire didn't have the picture of what it normally looked like, you know, so.
And what's interesting is if somebody said this to me one time, and they said, if you close your eyes and go into the dark, you won't see anything. But if you stay there long enough in that darkness, you'll know when you start seeing things. 'Cause I had to go in this place where I was looking for answers and I couldn't find them. I just wasn't sitting in the dark long enough. I had to sit in that pain.
That's and so good.
The visions started coming. The visions that were already defined for me, the life purpose that God gave me, started seeing it. And I saw the craziest things. I saw, they were so crazy that I was the only one who could possibly believe them. But they said, if you see it, you'll believe it. Well, I don't need my eyes open to see anymore. I learned the art of having the vision with my eyes closed. And I saw that my dream was going to be on the biggest stage and help millions of people. And I saw a Nike commercial with me and LeBron James and Serena Williams. And I would tell my friends, and they're like, come on, Charlie. That sounds great, but come on. How? And I would write down in my notebook every day. I have my Quantum Possibilities notebook and I manifest every day. And I see that I'm a Nike athlete and I'm in this commercial with LeBron James and Serena Williams. But I needed to manifest how it's going to happen. So I started tuning to the frequency of it already being done today. So I asked myself, what do Nike athletes have? I'm going to dress up as it. Physically and like energetically. I said, Nike athletes have Nike clothes, duh. But like Nike athletes have commercials. I don't need the commercial that I see in order to have a commercial. I said, I'm gonna make my own just to tune my frequency. So I wanted to make a fan-made Nike commercial. But y'all know filmmaking. Like in order to make a high quality, like grade commercial like that, you need somebody who can shoot, edit, color grade, score, and like the song needs to be like those strings, those emotional strings, that custom music, all this stuff is expensive. So I was calling my friends in Hollywood. They're like, Charlie, you need a budget of about like $50,000-$70,000 to pull this off the right way. I'm like, I'm not about to spend that money. Like I'm making an Instagram video. And
like it's about to be a reel.
Right.
I was thinking an iPhone.
I was 14. Thinking an iPhone and two friends in the video with me.
For sure.
But I believe that I could find somebody who could do it. And everybody said, Charlie, you're unrealistic. And that's the one thing that really frustrates me. Never tell me to be realistic. And I wrote in my notebook.
Never tell me to be sane, because that's just not an option.
Ever.
For sure. You gotta be like
I took this guy. There's this restaurant, a vegan restaurant over here on Melrose called Gracias Madre. And I went out with this Hollywood producer guy and one of John Legend's managers. He was trying to help me find a videographer. And this guy pissed me off so bad. And he said, Charlie, like, you're crazy. Stop even asking me to find this person for you because it's not a person. It's six people you need to make this film. You need the lighting guy. You need this. You need the sound, the scoring. I said, I'm going to find them and I'm going to find them tomorrow. Tuning my frequency. Next morning, I wake up in Santa Monica and I'm writing in my notebook, today is the day I search and found my videographer / editor. Mm. It's done! Exclamation mark. It's easy! Exclamation mark. Mm. I'm no longer even going to think it's hard, and I'm no longer going to think it's something I'm searching for. It's done.
It's done.
An hour later, I'm sitting on the couch. My roommate walks in the front door, and there's a camera guy behind him. And my roommate, he's like an accountant. Like, he would never have a cameraman following him.
Like, he's a banker.
Exactly. But like, the camera guy was holding this like steady cam rig, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way this is happening. Like, is this the guy? But then I look at him and he's like very gothic and like the opposite of me. Like, I'm colorful and like hopeful and optimistic. This guy,
he's dark.
This guy is like a dark cloud of energy.
You're like, God, the entity.
But I'm looking at my notebook and I'm seeing that I just wrote this. And I asked him, I said, do you do videos? First thing out of his mouth, yeah, I do videos, but nobody ever pays me. I'm like, dark cloud is talking. And I was like, can I see your work? So I pull up a website and he had this little short film that he made. And I was like, this is unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I said, did you shoot this? He said, yeah, I shot it. I said, did you edit it? He said, yeah, I edited it. I said, now this is like a cinematic lenses, like anamorphic lenses. Like, these are amazing. Like, do you own everything? Do you own your own equipment? He said, well, like, I'm kind of a hoarder. So like, anytime I make any money, I just like buy stuff. I was like, do you own lighting? Yeah. Do you own steady cams? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Do you own lenses? Yeah. I said, you got a bunch of cameras? Yeah, we got a bunch of cameras. I was like, oh my God. So that's the easy stuff. But then I'm like, who did the scoring on this and the music? Because all film is
that
music.
Feeling when you're watching it. You need that feeling. The
you
sound.
Know what he said?
He did it.
He said, well, I used to be in a rock band about 15 years ago and we were on the Warped Tour. So like, I'm like a really good musician. I was like, who that did the color grading? Because, you know, like in film, like you color grade, post. But that's a specialist.
Yeah, you have to do all that.
He said, well, I taught myself Da Vinci. I said, look at my notebook. I wrote this down.
An hour ago.
And you walked in my front
that's
door.
That's crazy. In your
it
house.
It came to you.
It came to me. I
you
said it was
have,
done.
You said, I don't even have to look for it.
I'm not doing this anymore. It's done.
It's done.
It's easy and it's done. So when it falls in my lap, it falls. We're going to figure it out.
I said,
that is wild.
How much do you think it would cost to make like a fan-made Nike commercial? I want to do something real inspirational with like Hans Zimmer music, and I want it to look like this. He said, about $600.
Shut your mouth.
I want to show you. Can I show you what we made?
Please.
Yes.
I want to show you this.
Wow.
Oh my God.
Can we put this in
the post?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, so they can see it too. That's crazy.
Okay.
Because I know the end of this story.
Ooh, and the amount of views on this is 111 right now.
Come on, wow. 11. 111.
All right, here y'all go. Get the play button.
Okay, we're going to watch it now. Can you see it, Mike?
Yeah. He's like, where is this guy at now who made this? Jesus.
Boring,
great. Great music is perfect. That is insane.
Wow.
That is so good.
It's so good. Did you really pay him $600?
He walked in my front door.
How much did you pay him for real?
$600, and then I asked him, do you need a job?
Oh,
and then
gosh.
I hired him.
Wow.
And then that was your Nike commercial.
Well, what was crazy is, one, the kid that we that handed me the glasses, so when we were on the Santa Monica boardwalk, and we needed a kid to like symbolize this like 8-year-old dream, like him handing me the glasses, and I stopped this kid, and I was like, to his parents, can we shoot something with your kid? Mm-hmm. And they said, yeah, of course. Guess what his name was?
No.
Charlie. Shut up.
Yes.
His name was Charlie.
I cried.
Yeah, for sure.
That's
I'm about to
crazy.
Cry right now.
I know. Well,
for sure, my nose is tingling. For sure, 100%. Watching that video, I was like, hold it together, hold it together.
So this was...
Wow.
This was the magic that happens when you get alignment with the thing that you were meant for. Yeah. You start seeing magic. Have y'all have seen the movie Moana?
No.
Oh, the best movie.
Well, you haven't seen Moana?
No.
The
I've never heard of that.
Greatest movie. Let's talk about movie.
It. Because at the end...
What?
Where she... When she is calling... For what is the name?
Nefiti. Yeah.
And she says, I know who you are.
Ooh. I just got
I know your name.
Uh-huh.
Who is Nefertiti?
You have to watch Moana.
Is it
Moana,
a cartoon?
You should watch it tonight.
It's about a girl who has a calling
okay.
to basically, you know, save her people.
Okay.
She has a calling to save her people.
Okay.
And the water calls her. Mm-hmm. And it's... The fact that the water calls her is a whole thing in and of itself.
Yeah.
But the water is basically calling her to do this, but her father is like, no, like, you just need to stay here. Like, this is going to be your people.
Don't chase your dream.
I'm raising you up to be, don't go out there because there's fear, right? They have, like, this border that they don't cross, and there's fear about crossing that, but something happens to the land, and the only way for her to restore her people is to restore the heart back to what is the name? Nefertiti or whatever. But in order to do that, she has to go, she has to do a quest across the ocean.
Yeah.
And, but anyway, she does it, and she finally, you know, restores the heart. But it's the end where, because the Nefertiti is angry. That's why their people were going through stuff, because she's angry,
okay. mm-hmm.
right? And she's like a demonic, like thing, like crawling, trying to get to her. And Moana just calmly walks towards her, and she goes. Damn, the beginning of it is so pretty. The beginning part of when she starts to sing. But basically she's like, I've been searching for you. Mm-hmm. And I know who you are. Mm-hmm. And I know your name. And it was just like this beautiful moment. I don't know. I get chills every time I think about it.
Is this a Disney movie?
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it's phenomenal.
It's a cartoon?
Yeah.
Oh,
the Rock is in it.
Okay.
But
okay.
yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
But what was the transition? You're talking about dreaming and believing and manifesting and all of that. And how did you get to that point of losing the weight of forcing yourself to actually fulfill and walk in your purpose? Because there's people out there that are like, I get it. I get the writing down. I get the manifestation. I get the losing 300, 200 pounds. I get all of that. Mm-hmm. But you were going through like major, like eating, overeating. Mm-hmm. Like, did you have an eating disorder? Binge eating.
Oh, God.
Before you were sick, before the brain tumor, or no?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I was first diagnosed with a brain tumor in high school, and everything was fine.
Mm, okay.
And then when I was 28, it came back around.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Okay.
So during my years in the music business, all I knew was like dieting. That's all I knew.
Instead of lifestyle, you were just always dieting, trying to eat like...
Trying to eat less, basically. Mm, and okay. I think like eating a severe amount less is a lot like holding your breath. To where it's like, I can hold my breath,
but then so
I'm going to be like, and the is binge eating. Mm. And so I was very addicted. Like, and it was very sad because like I used to live with my best friend and she would come in, she would have a plate of like macaroni and cheese or something. And like the things like binge eaters or just like addicts in general would do is very just sad. Like she would like have leftover like macaroni and cheese in the box and then like throw it away.
Lord.
And I would be like, all right, I'm gonna sneak down in the middle of the night, I'm gonna pull it out of the trash can, I know it didn't touch anything else in the trash can, I'm gonna eat that. And then like I can't throw that back in the trash can because then there's proof that like I ate it. So like I'd sneak outside, go into the trash can outside, lift up the bag out of the trash, hide it underneath. Like it's like a real like mental thing. But there would be days where I would binge eat. I remember this one day I was trying to sign Young Dolph and I would drive to Memphis every week to meet with him to just try to show him like I really cared about him. And there was one night I binge ate so much that the shirt that I showed up in, I used to wear like button down shirts. The shirt that I showed up in, The next morning, I couldn't even wear it.
Lord.
Let's face it. People have different sleep needs. While you love your partner, sleeping next to them might not always be the most comfortable. Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Maybe you prefer a firmer mattress and your partner needs something softer. Because of the individualized comfort that you get from Sleep Number smart beds, you and your partner will sleep better together. All Sleep Number smart beds feature cooling, pressure-relieving comfort layers for soothing sleep throughout the night. And their temperature balancing bedding is designed to move heat and moisture away when you're hot. When you're cool, they hold their energy to help warm you. The smart beds even automatically respond and adjust to your movements, so you sleep comfortably all night long. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget. Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable.
I would eat about 15,000 calories, and I would expand so much that like my skin would hurt. Like I would be, my whole body would be bruised because overnight I would expand.
Jesus.
But it's something really strange with the addiction. You can't get full. You just binge eat. And when you start messing up, you're like, well, if I make myself so sick, I will never want to do this again. So let me just make myself so sick because this is the last time I'm going to ever do this. And I was just sick. That's it.
So how did you get out of that, though? Because that's getting out of that is mental. Yes, it's physical. Yes, you're binge eating. And by no way, shape, or form am I saying I understand any eating disorder, because I don't. But I used to be an overeater. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to say I had an eating disorder or try to relate to you on that level. But I do understand, like, finishing everything on your plate. And that comes from childhood, too, I think. Don't get up until your plate's clean. And I'm full, but I'm going to take another bite. So even something as little as that, you have to train your mind to be like, I'm full. I don't care how much is here. I'm not going to take another bite. I'm no longer hungry. I'm satisfied. Push the plate away. So even my situation was not that drastic, and I'm not taking that from you at all, but I'm saying in a drastic situation like that, I know that's mental. So how did you get to the point where you built your mental stamina and strength to stop binge eating? Because that's wild to me.
Honestly, it was I had to do a complete rebirth. To where I said I have to get really good at removing things, and I became a different person through this process. Of first thing I removed was television, and I was like, okay, now I'm gonna remove social media. I deleted social media, and I was like, okay, I'm gonna remove my business from my life. I'm gonna remove the city I was from my life. I'm gonna remove meat and dairy from my life. And I went back to this like purest form I could possibly be as like an adult. And I was willing to do that because I had to, my back was against the wall. I had to save my life to where I removed everything. And I said, I'm starting over.
Was the brain tumor coming back your kickstart into changing your life?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Which is why I've always had so much gratitude for it.
I think that's one of the reasons why, and I know a lot of people didn't like the comment that we made regarding depression, because I think it all comes down to like a mental, it's a mental thing. Like an addiction is a mental thing, whether it's, you know, food or drugs or whatever. And because I personally have experienced and battled with depression and suicide, I know that feeling of a decision, because there was nothing in me that felt different until I made the decision.
Choice.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I think people are waiting for a feeling to go away or waiting for, you know, and people were angry, because I believe that I believe that depression can come, but you don't have to accept it, mm-hmm. and you don't have to claim it and live in that, yeah. right? I believe that it can come, but it doesn't have to be your life, yeah. right?
Like, I'll tell you what I do, because I take a different approach than I would say most people do. But anytime there's a bad situation, I've learned in my life that I could disarm it immediately. Mm-hmm. A bad situation can produce a couple paths. I choose to go the path of like this delusional optimist. Mm-hmm. I'm like delusional in my optimism to where if something bad happens to me, such as Soulja Boy firing me, mm-hmm. I could send me into depression, mm-hmm. or I could be like, no, I'm on a winning streak. Mm-hmm. We choose what we want to see. Mm-hmm. And it's 1000% a choice. That's like right choice. Now you're choosing to look at me, but your eyes are actually looking at millions of things, mm-hmm. and your brain has this thing called the reticular activating system, which is filtering everything and just showing you what's important. Mm. But it's up to you to decide what's important. Mm. For example, what kind of car do you have?
A Volkswagen.
Mm-hmm. When you bought it, you started seeing them all the time. Mm-hmm. Right? That's your reticular activating system now saying, this is important to me, so allow me to see it.
Mm. Don't ask me what kind of car I have.
Because she doesn't have one. That's okay.
So I decided I got really tired of losing. Mm-hmm. And so I want to only see the wins. Mm. But wins don't have to be big. Mm-hmm. It really started at Starbucks.
She says that all the time. Celebrate the little wins.
The little wins.
Yes.
All the time.
I went to Starbucks. I got two shots of espresso with a splash of almond milk and two raw sugars. And it came out to $2.47. But those are actually the ingredients of a latte. I just ordered them separately and didn't call it a latte, and it was half the price. And I told the barista lady, I was like, oh, that happiness for $2.47? I'm on a winning streak. Some people need a car or a Lamborghini or a mansion to be happy. This little $2 is making me so happy. Mm-hmm. And then I said, I'm starting my winning streak. Let me see how far I can go. Mm-hmm. I caught the green light. I said, I'm on a winning streak. Mm-hmm. Even when I catch the red light and I'm with somebody I love, I'm like, we get more time together. I'm on a winning streak. Yeah. Got the good parking spot at the grocery store. I'm on a winning streak. And when you start feeling like a winner, you attract wins, yeah. because that's now who you are.
Yeah.
Have you ever been to like Las Vegas and you go with a couple friends and somebody's losing and somebody's winning? Who gets the gravitational pull, mm-hmm. and who gets the like everybody's like kind of like, I'm not going over there. Mm-hmm. Winning attracts so much goodness, mm-hmm. and so much just energy, and that I just decided I'm going to win.
Yeah.
And then my frequency became a winner, and my depression and my anxieties, everything goes away, just because I'm choosing what I want to see.
Because you can change, your mind is so powerful. You can change your cellular, you know, your body. Like, you can change that. You can literally reverse physical ailments in your body off the way you think. That's what I'm saying. That's why I was saying that is, I'm not saying that people being depressed is a choice, but you have a choice if you're depressed.
And you know what I mean? Like, accepting it and sitting in it and not trying to fight it.
I know the power of, like what you said, sitting in the darkness and until a vision comes, mm-hmm. right? And I know what, and I was telling you this, I know what it's like to, like, we say it all the time, like, if you can see it, you can, then it's real, mm-hmm. then it exists. And when I was at my lowest point, I actually saw myself vividly take my life. It was the first time I actually saw it, though. Mm. I've always felt like I've always battled with it and battled with depression and battled with suicide, of not wanting to live. I've always battled with it, but that was the first time I saw myself do it. Like, I saw it. Mm. I saw me walking. I saw turning the corner. I saw unlocking the box. Like, Jesus. I saw the whole thing.
My goodness.
And before I put a gun in my hand, I stopped it. Ooh, I pushed stop.
Thank you, Jesus.
I did not.
Instead of watching the whole thing.
I stopped that movie immediately.
Yes.
Because I said, if I can see all of this, I know that it could get, like, I knew what the end of that story was going to be.
Down that rabbit hole.
And I was like, I will not let that image, like, I will not let that movie be an image in my head.
Yes.
And you have to be so mindful of what you allow yourself to go, mm-hmm, and to, mm-hmm, see, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, what I mean? Because if you can see it, mm-hmm, then it does exist. Mm-hmm. And so picturing, like, sitting in the darkness and sitting in it, but focusing and being intentional about what you truly desire and yes. letting that be the movie that plays in your head.
Over and over.
You cannot allow the past, the pain, the trauma, you can't let that movie play in your head. Mm-hmm. Because if you allow it, if you don't hit the stop button, I'm telling you, it will, you will see it. And that will be all, like you said, then
you'll start to add pieces to it.
All you, that's all you see is that. And I was I hit the stop. I was like, this will not be the vision in my head. I will not let this be real.
Good for you.
You know what I mean? And that's why I believe that you can make a decision.
Yeah.
You can say no, you can hit the stop button. On that movie, and you can hit it and say, enough is enough. I'm not. Yeah, I'm taking this out. I'm not playing this movie anymore.
That's right.
You like that has to be what it is, you know, but it is a decision. You can choose.
There's a lot of magic. Like we were talking about, even with Moana, when you choose to go past that fear, when you let go of what your mind is doing and you activate the heart, there's a reason why, like complete this sentence, follow
your heart.
What's another word? Follow your
dreams.
See, why follow those? Why passions. Why are those? Yep. Those are the things. Nobody's ever said follow your brain. That's an organ too.
Right. It's follow your liver.
It's, like those are sure. Follow your ears.
Follow your ear. Yeah.
Follow your eyes. Yeah.
Nobody even says follow your ideas.
Yep.
They don't say it. It doesn't even feel right. It doesn't sit with our soul. Yeah. Heart and dreams, they're like this.
Yeah.
They are twins.
Yeah.
And Moana, when she went, that water, every time she failed, the water put her back.
I was just thinking about that. Every time she threw that thing in the water, it came. That water was like, no.
That was that.
What did she throw in the water?
The heart. The heart. It was like this little green thing that had to be the heart to defeat. Like it had to go back. Oh, you do? Okay. It had to go to it had to go to the Nefiti or whatever her name is, but every time that she wanted to give up,
she just threw like
she would be like, and the water brought it right back to her.
Wow. Even when she, even when she would fall off the raft herself, because there were things threatening her the entire time, but she couldn't lose. Wow. That's the thing.
Wow,
she could not lose. Every time she was about to lose, the universe or God came and blessed her. And that was what I felt like I experienced on my journey, because when I made the fan made Nike commercial and I put it out, I mean, what happened after that was just pure magic. Nike saw it.
Yep.
And my friends were like, uh-oh.
Yep.
This crazy guy is actually it's
doing what
coming
he said he was gonna do.
They flew me to the headquarters, and I thought it was going to be a cute little meet and greet. Like, you know, like a little feel-good story. Here's some shoes. Take a picture. They walked me into this conference room, and they had all these TVs, and my face was on them. And like, I'm seeing who's in the room, and I'm like, these are the executives, like the biggest executives. And there was about 30 people in the room. And I was like, what's going on here? They said, your film inspired us to change the direction of our company.
Jesus.
I was like,
me?
Me? The chubbiest person in the room? I was like, they said, we forgot about dreams here at Nike. And they said, we're going to work on something. We want you to be a part of it. And what they created with my permission, and they named it after me. They created a campaign that they named after me. And it became the biggest Nike commercial of all time. It was a Colin Kaepernick commercial. It was named Dream Crazy. It had LeBron James and Serena Williams in it.
Jesus.
That is insane.
That is insanity. And I believe you can do that with anything. Anything. That is crazy.
It's not, though.
It's not.
It's not crazy because he saw it.
He saw it.
You know what I mean? Like, you saw it.
You saw it. You said it. You wrote it down.
And we were talking about last time, you allowed your desire to be the motivating factor. You didn't allow what was going to come from that.
You didn't
even know what was going to come from that. It wasn't the money. It wasn't the
being on TV.
The fame. The notoriety.
It wasn't meeting LeBron. Whatever.
It was literally the desire. And you allowed that to literally, like, push
you forward.
Like that was your motivating factor, not the wants. Yeah. It was the desire. Yeah. And then look what happened. It literally manifested itself.
Wild.
And it was the thing that, you know, that truest dream that's inside of you, even as a kid, is for a really big reason. I could have never guessed that out of all the athletic people in my middle school or high school, that I would be in the Super Bowl commercial.
Yep. Yeah.
But there's a million paths to get there. But the one path that is for you is for you. And you just got to be delusional enough to believe what you see.
Yeah.
Yes.
And let the heart.
Yes.
Because, I mean, I didn't know. When I left music, I didn't know if I'd ever make money again. Mm-hmm. How am I going to make money being an athlete? I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I'm going to do it, and it's going to figure out. And to be able to experience my dream in the biggest way possible on a Super Bowl commercial. And in that moment of my dream coming true, I said, I'm going to dedicate the rest of my life to making other people's dreams come true.
And that's how we get to the Dream Machine Tour.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I cannot wait to go to the, you have to see it. He showed me the facility.
The Dream Factory.
The Dream
Factory. Is that where the fashion show? Okay.
Yeah.
That's where the fashion show is. And I love your page. I love your social media. And that's actually how me and Charlie reconnected through social media. Mm-hmm. I was seeing, this was years ago, obviously, but seeing your stuff and what you do now, the journey you came from, but what you do now after making your dream come true, following your heart, you wanted to do that with other people. Mm-hmm. And other people who were, I mean, maybe some of them weren't scared. Maybe there was their conditions or their situations that they were in or just fearful of going for it. But you have taken so many people under this Dream Machine brand and idea and changed their lives. So tell us a little bit about that.
I wanted to give people that dream come true feeling, because if they got to the end of their life not knowing, that's the one thing that, like, I fight for. Mm-hmm. I don't want somebody to ever get to the end of their life not knowing what it feels like.
What
to feel
if,
like,
why didn't I do that? Mm-hmm. Feeling empty, not feeling full or purposeful.
Exactly. So I said, you know what? It's going to start with just asking people what their dreams are and then fighting for them, fighting for their dream. And I remember outside of Ralph's on Sunset, there was this older man, homeless, sitting there. And I asked him, I said, what's your dream?
Is this the first person or one of the first people?
This was the first big one.
Okay.
This was the one that, like, I realized that
propelled the brand and the movement and, like, the real purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Got you.
We'll call this guy 2 Chainz. This was the
one. Right. The one that's like, that got me up.
And so he said, I'm an artist. I'm a world famous artist. And I'm thinking to myself, you're homeless. He said, my studio burned down in Santa Monica and I ended up homeless. And I've been to jail so many times, you know, and I just, you know, I'm out here just asking for money. But my dream is to have my art in an art gallery. I said, can I see your work? He said, you can Google me. I was like, I can Google you?
Wow.
He said, yeah, I've painted for Muhammad Ali, Richard Pryor. I've painted for everybody.
Jeez. Homeless.
Mm-hmm. And he's from Atlanta. And I said, Your work is absolutely incredible. I honestly can't even believe it. I was like, I'll come back and talk to you tomorrow. I got with my dream team and we put together an art show for him. And we wanted to surprise him that we're going to throw him an art show in Beverly Hills. And he just started crying. And we put his work out on the Instagram, and then we built him a little website. Because I didn't want to just give them money. I wanted them to have a business.
A source of income. Right.
We launched his website and he sold $300,000 worth of art.
Jesus.
Oprah bought a painting live on television.
Jesus.
Steve Harvey bought a painting. I mean, it just swept. And then we threw him the art show. It sold out. He auctioned off one painting for like $25,000. And then we've just like,
that's wild.
Just ask people. There's a little girl. She had a rare disease in her leg called CRPS. They call it the suicide disease because the pain is incurable.
Mm-hmm.
The pain is so bad that, like, people literally kill themselves. It's the only way to get rid of the pain.
Jesus.
And this little girl, her dream is to be a baker. She wants to make cookies. She wants to be on this, like, kids cooking show. And so we built her a bakery business and a website. And she sold 120,000 cookies
Jesus.
In 1 week. So like our movement has grown. We have such a strong
y'all's like, community. Like the way y'all do it when y'all post, it's like, okay, we're gonna make this girl's dream come true. And the community comes together. Mm. All the followers and everybody donates and puts their, whether it's $1, $10, you know, to support that. I love that. Mm-hmm. I feel like that community thing is, you know, what we build here or try to build here, yeah. like with people that are like minded and yes. like supportive.
I don't know what to quote for who it's from, but I don't know if it was Miles Monroe. I don't know. But he said the richest place in the world is a graveyard.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that is just
yep.
sad when you think about all the people that enter this world with a purpose, right? Because God intended for them to do a specific thing.
Yeah.
And he placed that in them. But the way that like our world is set up, there's so many moments and times and situations that come in and yep. kill piece by piece, like mm-hmm. break that dream down piece by piece. And it's just sad that, you know, people leave here
yep.
empty or full.
Right. Not fulfilled.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They
yeah.
leave here and they don't ever get to fully have themselves manifested
or
in
put
this
out
world,
their ideas, you know, or their fulfill their purpose, mm-hmm. you know, out of fear and just.
And I think what's so important about what you do, Charlie, is that the responsibility that we all should have to flame that fire, to fan
people.
That fire in other people,
yes.
because. We yep. are extensions of ourselves. We're all extensions of one another, yeah. right? Mm-hmm. And when you don't fulfill your dream,
yeah.
something in this earth is lacking. Yeah. There's yes. somebody that doesn't get to fulfill their dream.
Yeah.
There's, you know what I mean? And that's why it's so important that you tap in to what you truly desire
yeah.
mm-hmm. and let that fuel you yeah. through your life, because there's so much that's dependent on that.
Yeah.
And for you to have your whole, your life's work now
dedicated to that. Yeah.
Doing that. I mean, the impact that you have is almost immeasurable.
You would never know.
You're never going to know.
You don't even
how
know
impactful mm-hmm. the work that you're doing is. I mean, generations upon generations,
yeah.
you know, mm-hmm. that legacy is major.
Thank
you know,
you.
So thank you for the work that
thank
you're doing
you.
Because I'm, even though I haven't directly, you know what I'm saying, experienced that or benefited from you, I know that we are all benefiting.
Of course.
Because of the work course. That you're doing in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
So that's really
that.
Awesome.
I'm Absolutely. So proud of you. What is next for the Dream Team? Like, what are y'all working on now?
And how can people plug in and help?
Yeah. Like,
how can we help? How can we support
yeah.
you?
What's next is this dream we're working on right now. It's this little girl. She's been fighting cancer since she was 2, and she's 15.
Mm-hmm.
She's beat cancer 7 times. And so when I talked to her, I said, you're on a winning streak. Mm-hmm. Like, you're undefeated.
You're winning right now.
You are
going.
Undefeated.
Yeah.
It tries to beat you, and it just can't. You, like, you are winning.
Yeah.
And so I asked her what her dream is because, you know, she hasn't had, like, for us who are, like, in a, it's hard enough to chase a dream and we're not fighting cancer.
Yeah.
Right.
Just imagine yeah. a little girl that all she knows is that hospital. But also all she knows is not being able to experience friendship because she can't go to school.
Mm-hmm.
She can't live a normal
She's
life.
Sick all the time, yeah.
So just imagine, like, never knowing what it feels like to feel truly seen.
Yeah.
And I saw something shift in her the other night. I asked her mom, can she come to my TED Talk? And mom said, yes. I said, if I asked her to come up on stage, would she say no? She said, she'll probably say no. She's extremely shy. I wanted to make a dream come true for her because earlier that day I asked her, who's your favorite celebrity? She said, Mr. Beast. Big
oh,
YouTuber.
Cool. Yeah, he's a big YouTuber. Okay, cool.
And so I'm like, all right, let me see how I can make this dream come true. Was able to pull something off. So I wanted to make a dream come true as a part of my speech because I don't believe in just talking. I believe in doing, you know, like, let's be about it, not just talk about it. So I do my speech. I asked her, can you come up on stage? And immediately she said, yes. I was like,
oh, wow.
Okay. She got up on stage. I showed her like this video of Mr. Beast talking to her. Mr. Beast surprised her with $10,000. And the crowd is chanting her name and like cheering for her. And then afterwards, she just wouldn't stop talking. She said, I'm with my people. Ooh. I'm like, I got $10,000. I got this. I got that. I'm with my people. I'm like, who are you?
Yeah.
But I saw something blossom in her by feeling seen. So I was like, okay, how can we double down on this? Let's build her dream. Let's build her clothing line. Let's let her have something to live for and fight for. But also a way to interact with the world and be valued by the world.
Yeah.
So I want to build her clothing line.
Yay.
And I want it to be life changing for her. Yeah. And I wanted her to inspire all the other little kids with cancer.
Yeah. Mm.
We're
doing a fashion show. Uh-oh. Well, not we're. He asked me to host it. I'm not doing it.
No, it's definitely weird. Because I'm going to need your help.
Megan's coming too. So it'll be like a no for sure hosting.
Whatever I can do to help. Yeah, this is amazing.
That'd be amazing.
Sure. No, for sure hosting. Whatever. We'll show you guys like the BTS of that. We might put it on Patreon or something. But I'm excited to be a part of that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Just be in the room with it. And we want to, you know, young girls is a part of our mission.
Yeah.
For sure. Like, you know, we're women now, but having that mentor and love at a younger age is what we feel like we want to give to the younger generation.
Yeah.
You know, so we're excited to be a part of that.
That'll be amazing. Yeah. It's going to be having you host, both of y'all host.
He's like, sorry. Sorry. Now as you did. No, definitely no for sure.
But having y'all host is going to make it the most fun fashion show because I don't want it to be a normal fashion show.
Yeah. It's going
to
be fun. Yeah.
I want it to be a party, like a pep rally almost.
Yeah.
Where like the music's going, these kids with cancer or disabilities. Mm-hmm. I even want to try to get supermodels or celebrities there. Like I just want it to be fun. The most amazing night. And that's also gonna be the night we launch our website. So it'll be like a website release party. So when we hit upload, we'll like celebrate $10,000 or $50,000, however many we sell.
Watch the numbers go in real time. That's cool.
We'll get some confetti and some pyro, and you can do your little horn sound.
So exciting.
I'm excited to be a part of that.
Yeah. I'm excited just to connect with you, Charlie, and like whatever we can do, you know, like we want to be a part of things that are impactful. And I tell B all that time, I'm like, I hate when people say influencer.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe in influence.
Impact
I believe in
over influence.
Yeah. Mm. I believe in impact. Like impact. I don't want to influence. I want to impact.
I like that.
That lasting feeling, you know, something
life changing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So any way that we can be a part of things like that, we want to. So
come on. I can't wait to make dreams come true with y'all.
Yeah. It's going to be fun. So we should do something special for like a know for sure.
I know.
Yeah.
Like a Patreon, one of our like exclusive chain gains or something like a make a dream come true. We should make that like a thing. Like we do it often.
Yeah.
Like I wanna, this is like super inspiring to just give back.
It is.
To in any way.
Help us.
All right, man.
Because we don't know.
Show us how to do it. He's like, all right, you wanna make the dream come true. And they start people start saying they wanna do this and that. And they start
like, I have a dream of it's like, well
give us a second. Right. I know it's not easy. It's not easy. And you know, changing people's mindset too on their way up and having them become stable.
Yeah.
And, you know, I know that's not a easy task. It's difficult changing their mindset into being like, okay, this is your source of income. Now you're an entrepreneur. You're not homeless anymore. Like maneuvering through that mental shift, I know it's not a walk in the park.
Yeah.
So I commend you for that process also. I know making these dreams come true aren't that easy, but we want to be a part of whatever you have going on. We to do something for the Know For Sure community.
I can't wait.
So we're going to talk about that off camera. That will be really cool.
Yeah, because y'all's community is so strong that, I could already see all of them just rallying behind changing somebody's life. Yeah. I could see
Chain Gang is already like, they be supporting. Like we did a contest on our Patreon. They were like, I know I didn't win, but go, girl. Like, they support each other and love each other. So
the community is amazing.
That's amazing.
That would be great to do.
I love that.
Before we end the episode.
All right, now.
Number one, thank you for being here. And is there anything else that you want to share or touch on before we go?
No.
Okay.
The most exciting thing we could ever talk about is let's change a life together. I'm excited.
Yeah,
I'm so glad y'all want to do that.
Yes. Yay. I'm like, when can we start?
I'm like, today.
What are we doing?
Jesus. I know. That's really cool. That's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
I'm like, my brain is going. I'm like, we're going to
change the world.
No, for sure.
Save lives.
I'm like, we're going to do like retreats and conferences.
Literally. We're going to take somebody to the moon.
No, seriously.
Your dream is to be an astronaut? Fuck it.
Jeff Bezos, what are you doing? I heard you got a rocket ship.
Literally, that's where my brain is going.
No, seriously, my brain is like on fire.
You're really making your dream come true. You still working on yourself. Bitch, relax. You trying to take somebody to the moon.
You know what, though? Honestly, in all reality, it feels better working on yourself when you extend your hand to help somebody else. Like, it makes you...
Always.
Like, I don't know. That makes me feel... And it makes me want to take care of myself, too. Like, it makes me want... Like, this has had me thinking about, like, what am I... Like, what's my dream? Like, what... You know, like, I feel like I'm living my dream, but, like... Don't limit it to just like expand that, it. Yeah, what's your dream? What's like, what do you dream? Really dream of? And don't, I've been saying this too. And I was telling Baby J this. I was like, we get so afraid to like say the things out loud that we really, really desire.
Because
you think it's crazy. Yep. Like, I shouldn't, no, I'm not going to say it. It's like, why not?
That's not possible.
Why not?
Or I'm too old for that.
Do y'all know what the word abracadabra means
in
its origin?
No. I thought I did, but I don't. So, I was gonna guess, but I don't.
So abracadabra is an Aramaic word, and it means as I speak, I create.
Got you.
Now name another species that creates other than us. Name another species that can speak.
None.
I mean, birds can mimic, but like not truly.
Yeah. Well, my neighbor.
Can like
my neighbor dog talks.
He'd be like, "What's up?"
He'd be like, "No, for sure he does. I'm not joking. He whines and cries all the time, and it sounds like words. He's like,
"Wow,
please let me in,
Jesus."
So it's kind of crazy that like the definition of that word is as I speak, I create, and we are the only species that can speak, and we are the only species that can create. Mm-hmm. It's the thing that. You know, we're given this power. Our words are spells.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's why they call it spelling. You have to like know that
that's
you could either
that's in the Bible now.
Yeah.
You could create something good or you can create something bad. A spell doesn't have to be a negative thing.
Yeah. Right.
You can cast a good spell.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Like magic. You know, it's like, oh, like I told everybody my dreams and I tell them every day. I don't hold it in. We were taught as kids. Don't say anything. You're going to jinx it.
Or someone's going to steal your idea.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. No, tell everybody as much as you can because there's something that happens in that moment. Same thing with writing. It's it's still spelling at the end of the day because you're, it's no different.
Spelling it out. Wow.
Which I've always experienced works magically, you know. Mm-hmm. And when I pray as like a thank you. Sometimes I pray like I really need this, but then I'm like also like, okay, it's done.
Yeah.
It's easy.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
I always say it's already done. Time hasn't caught up yet.
Yeah.
The Nike thing, the day I was born, it was already done.
Yep.
Time just hadn't caught up yet. It was already done.
Yep.
Yeah. Every time I saw it, the first stock that I bought, I was like a little like stock kid, like 8 years old. I cut grass and then like buy stocks. I bought Nike. It was my first stock.
Wow. 8 years old.
Yeah.
See, that's that white shit. I didn't even know what a stock was at 8.
Yeah.
It's actually, I'll tell you.
We got to do better. I was buying stocks.
I was cutting grass
and buying stocks.
I give
cutting
you
grass and buying candy.
I give all credit to my grandfather, the Arab man. So I'm half Lebanese.
Okay.
So, like, he was like very frugal. He sold vacuum cleaners and. You know, but he was like a businessman. He was like, you need to invest your money. Because he was an immigrant. So he was like very smart always. And he was like, you got to invest your money. So he challenged me to a stock buying contest.
Wow.
You need to research a company. And my research was Michael Jordan. I was like, the beginning and end of my research.
That's it.
I want Jordan. Those shoes. That company's going to do good. But it's very important to listen to kids because kids always do know what's
they
next.
They know what the trends and stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
I think he bought a company called Sara Lee. It makes Hanes underwear and like bread. And I was like, I'm buying Nike. And I tore him up.
Wow.
But it was kind of divine that was, you know, the
it
first.
Was already, it shows you that it was already there.
It was always there.
Planting that seed
there
back
the whole
then.
Time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So our question is, what are you saying no to for sure? Like no, for sure, a hard no. And then what do you know for sure after this episode? So it's a two-parter.
What I'm saying no to? Like something that's like approaching me in life that
just
I have
anything,
to say?
Anything, anything. Like, I'm just saying no to limiting beliefs. I'm saying no to...
I'm saying no to allowing the thought of stress be a real thing in my mind. Where as humans, we're taught to survive. That's literally what we're like meant for. So like caveman, always looking for things that are attacking us. That's literally our human makeup. But that's not real now. So we always look for other things that are attacking us now. Because we're supposed to. We're literally looking. I am going to say no to ever feeling like I'm not protected. I'm saying yes to absolute delusional optimism that I am protected and everything is done and nothing can touch me.
I love that.
If anything bad happens, it's a gift.
I love that.
If anything tries to hurt me, no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Prosper.
Like, period.
Amen.
So,
period.
I am protected, and I'm protected.
He's like, I'm saying
protected.
No.
What do you know for sure?
What do I know for sure?
K-N-O-W.
I know for sure that before I die, I can really change this place.
Yeah.
By bringing dreams back to the forefront to create a movement. Because I believe that I can help take millions of people and getting them activated as a part of dream making.
You're doing it now.
I'm young. By the time I'm 60, I always vision myself as like 60 or 70. Like when we think of like Gandhi, we don't think of like 34-year-old Gandhi.
Yeah.
Like I'm ready. I can't wait to be there. I'm excited to get to that age and know what I'm capable of then. Yeah. But I know I can do it. Because I wake up and I fight for it every day. I fight for people's dreams every day.
Yeah.
I even used to fight for 2 Chains' dream. That was really what I was doing. It's like, you got a dream? I'm going to go make it happen.
Yeah.
So I've been practicing a long time. But it's time to make it a movement.
Yeah.
So I know for sure that that's going to happen. And I know just like Moana, if anything bad happens, the water's going to put me right back. And I know what that finish line looks like. And that's what keeps me fighting every day.
I love that. Hold on, I got the lyrics to the song so you can.
Oh, let me hear.
It's really short. It's okay. Like a little. It's a little. You know, it's not that long.
I have to watch this.
Okay, so she says, "I've crossed the horizon to find you. I know your name. They may have stolen the heart from inside you, but this does not define you. This is not who you are. I know who you are. Who you really are." And when she said, you know me, everything is filtered through God for me. So when I hear that, I am, when I say,
balling.
My kids are like,
Mom, we're watching a cartoon.
I am like in a mess because I know
what that
like
means,
it was me. It was like watching myself. It was like that scene specifically was like watching myself and how calmly she walked towards the chaos is how calmly God is approaching you in your chaos, and as calmly as she, like all that, you know,
rah, rah, rah.
And she just calmly, she wasn't moved by it, and there was no like urgency. It was just like, I'm here.
I'm coming.
And
that was also the first moment that she believed fully that she was the one here to save the world.
Yep.
Because she always had a little doubt, and she was going to quit.
Yep.
But in that moment, her power changed.
Yeah.
And she said, I know I'm
something
the one.
Something came over. It was different, you know, and that resonates so much with me, especially after you go through what feels like a storm.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you have that calm. I don't know. God just feels like a calm approach.
Yeah.
Like he's just like, it's all right.
It's okay.
That's right.
I know you. I know you.
Yeah.
And I know you went through all that, and I know it hurt.
Yep.
And I know your heart was crushed.
Yep.
I know.
Yeah.
And I was there.
Yeah.
Just like what Charlie's like, you know, I know you've always had that dream. Remember your first stock?
Yep. Yeah.
You know, it's always, I've always
you
been
were
there.
Eight. Yeah.
You know, I've always been there. So like, I know you have to watch the movie.
I love that. How do I watch it? We need to watch it
tonight.
It's
on Disney.
It's on Netflix.
Yeah.
It's on Disney.
Is it on Hulu?
It's on Amazon.
It's like, I need the app. We'll get you to watch. What do you say no to for sure? What do you know for sure?
What do I know for sure? No. Well, we lost all of our luggage yesterday at the airport, and I just had like a not. I'm like, it's okay. Like, da-da-da-da. Like, what I'm saying no to letting things I can't control shift my mood and my character and like
virtual collapse.
Saying no to that. Yeah. You know, we're just like, we can't control it. We're trying to figure out a solution. Nothing's happening. Let's just go to the Airbnb. And if it shows up, it shows up. And if not, glory be to God. We can go buy clothes and shoes. And, you know, some people don't even have the luxury or privilege to do that. So saying no to letting anything that is out of my control move me.
Yeah.
What do I know for sure? I know for sure we're going to change a life. Mm-hmm. We don't even know who it is
yet. Lots of lives.
Mm-hmm. Lots of lives. Yeah. But, like, make that dream come true. Yeah. Like, doing that together with Know For Sure and Charlie, I know for sure that it's going to be, like, impactful not only for that person, but for us.
Yeah.
It fulfills us, and it fires us up to keep doing what we're doing and knowing that we have an impact on people in a massive way and we're doing the right thing. You know, it's full circle. We pour into them, and that pours into us and keeps us fueled to keep doing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah. What about you?
I'm saying, so going kind of piggybacking off of our conversation last night in the car after you guys' luggage were stolen.
That conversation was so crazy. Good.
But what we were talking about is...
Lucifer. You're so goofy.
We have a new name for
the devil.
For the devil. His name is Lucifer. Instead of Lucifer, he's a loser. Get it? That's great. But we were talking about they lost their luggage, and thank God there was nothing like super valuable in it. And we were talking about how like your most valuable stuff you put in your carry-on instead of checking it. And sometimes when you get to the plane, they're like, oh, that we don't have enough space or it's too big, so you need to check that. And we were like, no, like at like where I am in my life, I am not giving anyone access to something that is valuable to me in the sense of my peace, my dreams, my happiness, my confidence, my...
I'm not checking it.
You don't get to have that. And if I gotta miss a flight, I'll miss a flight and catch another one to make sure my shit gets on the plane, but you're not having access to that. I can't afford to allow anyone to have possession over the things that are most valuable to me. And now knowing what those values are, what those valuable things are, I'm like, my peace is the most valuable thing to me right now. Mm-hmm. My confidence is the most valuable thing to me right now.
Yeah.
My self-control, all of that stuff, like that is important to me and very valuable to me right now, and nobody gets to have access to that. No one.
I'm so proud
like
of you.
Not that one person. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, that is what am I saying no to? That's what my no to. And what I know for sure is that I want to activate my dreams again. Like I want to start activating that, like dreaming more, like not just, because I think a lot of times we don't think we're worthy of the dreams that we have. Mm-hmm. And so not feeling worthy of it makes you limited.
Yeah.
Or like, okay, maybe I'll just take that piece of the dream, but I can't really get the other parts of it. And just not limiting that. So I'm like, I want to expand and start activating my dreams.
You can have it all.
Yeah.
Wow, this was a good episode.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me on, y'all.
And we need you often.
We do. Anytime. Come make some dreams come true.
Yeah, for sure.
All right now.
Yes. He's all right now. I'll tell you
what he's saying. All right. I didn't waste any time calling you the other day. I was like, I got an idea.
So thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Make sure you guys check out Charlie. Follow him. What's your Instagram?
Just Charlie.
At Charlie.
Just how Charlie.
Dope he is. It's how just dope Charlie. He is. How did he even get that? You know how many Charlies are in the world?
Just
and
Charlie.
He got Charlie.
It was actually Charlie. A kind of a abracadabra moment.
Was it?
Mm-hmm.
You're like, another manifestation moment.
So I had a dream in my sleep where I saw this like presidential yard sign, and like I was running for president. I don't want to run for president, but I saw it, and it was just on a first name basis, Charlie. And I told my best friend Scott, I was like, I saw that I'm going to be like on a first name basis, like how like Oprah is. And I was like, not even a last name. And the next day I get a DM from this lady who works at Instagram. She used to be in the music business, Fadia Kader, in Atlanta. And she left the music business. She's working at Instagram. And she said, I have a gift for you. I was like, what's the gift? She said, check your DM and just hit accept. And
it changed your Instagram name to Charlie.
And I was like, I told my friend Scott, I said, I told you, I saw it. This happened 24 hours later.
That is crazy.
What's her Instagram?
Sorry, man, you need to go, we need to wind him down, give him some melatonin, and you need to have a dream about my husband.
Yeah.
Okay. All these dreams you making come true, all this manifesting, you need to start spelling out my husband's name. Charlie? Jesus. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you, guys.
We love you. Yeah, thank you guys for watching. And if you're listening, another episode of the Know For Sure podcast. I am B. Simone.
And I'm Megan Ashley.
And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye, y'all.
Thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Know For Sure podcast. Make sure you keep the conversation going and use our hashtag KnowForSurePod.
Yes, we want to see you guys share the hashtag KnowForSurePod on all social media platforms. We want to keep the conversation going.
And follow us on all social media platforms, Instagram and Twitter, KnowForSurePod.